Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Happy Black History Month.
Oh, happy Black History Month to you, too. I appreciate all the white people celebrating. Yeah. They don't know who I am, but they're clapping for me anyway.
No, they both think we're in the end. You know what's interesting? It is Black History Month, and the first day Tom Brady announces his retirement.
That's hilarious. I mean, and on the day, or the we're leading up to the Super Bowl.
Right.
First two black quarterbacks ever. In the Super Bowl of ever. And we also had... over the weekend, what I believe to be the blackest moment in playoff history. Right. I don't know if you saw Patrick Mahomes' daddy on the sideline, LaVon Mahomes' daddy on the sideline. Oh, I loved it. It sounded so much like my black uncles. Yeah. It was.
When you say, what's his middle name?
Oh, LaVon.
Then you know it's going to be black.
Oh, yeah. It was the familiar din of a black uncle.
Oh, yeah, it was.
It sounded like a leather baseball cap.
It's the blackest Super Bowl ever.
Oh, good.
That's the kind of dude come over, you hide the jewelry.
He said, I'm smoking on that Joe Burrow. Sound just like my uncle.
But it's historic. Two black quarterbacks starting for the first time. And what does that mean to you? You're a former player. What does that mean to you?
No, I mean, I think it represents, I hate the word progress, but it does kind of represent some progress. I mean, there's lots of other things in the NFL and in the world, frankly, that we need to work towards. But one thing that we've had to finally accept is black quarterbacks are perfect leaders, perfect quarterbacks.
And the problem was that they didn't think they had the intelligence.
I think it's one about the intelligence and also in the leadership, and it's also about y'all. Frankly, it's about what the quarterback represents on a football team is something that white people in America in general were never comfortable with seeing a black person represent that. So it's been great to see not only have so many successful black quarterbacks, and we saw even some quarterbacks that are black that aren't good, which is a show in progress, too. Yeah. Because
we could be just as shitty as you guys.
I mean, that is progress. But the most, exciting thing about it is the future of the league. The best quarterback that I think any of us have ever seen is Patrick Mahomes.
I think I've never seen anybody be able to do the things he does. Now, you got to be great over a long period of time.
Because
there are people who started out that way. I thought what Cam Newton was doing was remarkable. And then you see what happens. It's interesting because we talk about football, and there's a marked difference between the way players in the NFL are treated and the way players in the NBA are treated. And I think primarily it is the ownership. Uh-huh. I think that the ownership in the NFL has a decidedly different view of their commodity than the NBA does. Like, you would never see an NFL, NBA owner talk to a major star like NFL. If somebody talked to LeBron James like they talk to some of these stars, it would be over.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron James has a disproportionate amount of power, but, singling out the NFL, and trust me, I'm not going to be up here defending the NFL, but the NFL exists in our society. And frankly, NFL is no different than any other workplace. And so, the hierarchy that exists in the NFL is it's going to be blacker at the bottom or minorities at the bottom. And you go up higher and higher, and there's less risk, there's less danger, there's less injury, there's less pain, but there's more money, there's more success, there's more protection. And that's true in the NFL. And frankly, that's true in the NBA. That's true.
Everywhere
that y'all work is true. It's true in this building. Yeah. Sorry, they may not have me back.
Not in this building.
Okay.
Not today.
Not today.
You know, it's interesting because we watched, when I watched what happened to Hamlin on the field, I was personally, because I watch football a very long time, and I'm sure you've seen a lot of injuries. I don't know that I've ever seen anything like that. Yeah. And the way that the players reacted, it was hurtful. I mean, obviously you were sad that somebody was suffering there, but it was such a beautiful human moment.
Yeah.
Because the NFL got to be human.
Yeah.
The coach was like, we ain't playing this game.
Yeah.
And the owner's like, yes, you are.
Exactly.
So you got to see men that just were empathic and just right. men who were crying and praying.
Yeah.
And not because they won or they lost, because right. they were praying for somebody who was in
need. Yeah, I played a long time. I was in a game where a player got paralyzed on the field, and he was taken off. We waited 5 minutes, warmed up, and played again.
All right.
I played in a preseason game where a player died in a locker room afterwards. Like, I've been around some ugly parts of football, but to your point, I've never seen anything like
that. What do you think was different about that?
That particular play, his heart stopped on the field.
I mean, but we've seen people pass out. We've seen people have. But it was something different about that that made. Because I didn't think it was all that bad at first.
Right. None of us did.
Hell, I passed out during COVID. But there was the way. Because I think that people are used to certain types of injuries or seeing certain types of things. But that scared everybody.
Yeah, the reaction from the players really, scared all of us. And I think this all goes back to the original conversation that we were having about, American culture and the hierarchy that exists is you show up at those games as a player and you know that there is no limit to the risk that you're taking.
Right.
But why would
you do it, though?
Well, you do it because you grow up. So when you were a kid and you want to play football, you decide before you're of clear mind.
Right.
And then you show a propensity for it. And people just keep pushing you along, keep pushing you along. And nothing's wrong with that. And frankly, when I came up, we were unaware of the CTE stuff.
Sure,
that came out while I was in
would
the league.
Would that have changed your mind?
I like to think it would, but I doubt that it would. And to be honest with you, I don't begrudge any of the players now for participating in a game knowing the risk that it takes. The thing that frustrates me is there is a cap on the amount of money they can make, on the amount of health care they can receive. The league negotiates for a cap on that. But on the other side, the owners, the coaches, the general managers,
that's up to the players, really, because there's a sense of if NFL players didn't play, that shit would be rugby.
Right. Yeah.
And I think the goal is to make you pretend like you don't have a choice. I believe you don't have a choice. You go to some of the finest institutions of higher learning on the face of the earth. You went to Harvard. You're a very bright man.
Yeah.
But to make you believe that you're beholden to a thing because of your mind is the biggest game in town.
So I agree, and I understand. So to be clear, I went to Harvard Business School. I'm a Terp through and through,
first of all. Okay.
But
okay.
The first...
He's downplaying Harvard.
Yeah, man.
I know somebody went to the new school. Let me tell you about that.
I would say that quality callback.
Harvard is no new school.
Yeah,
let me tell you
quality
that.
Callback. Now, I would say that I get your point, and I'm sorry to sound like a broken record, but we all exist in a society, and I think the players as a whole, solidarity is power. If they stop playing, you can get what you want. And all of us can get the things that we want if we band together. But the challenging thing about negotiating with the owners, it's the same thing that we all face, is trying to change a system that's entrenched. The people who are already in power in that situation.
Sure.
So if you are to strike, if you're a group of players to get what you want, that's essentially a war of attrition.
Right.
The Commanders, the Washington football team, it's reported is going to sell for $8 billion.
Right.
How do players win a war of attrition against them? And then you compound that by the fact that we get pressure from everywhere.
Sure.
No one comes down so rarely. I think it's changing some now, but so rarely do fans come down on the owners when there's an issue.
Not at all.
They're mad at the players all the time.
Because that's the face that they can't even see the face because they have a helmet on. I think you guys have a tremendous amount of pressure on you externally because... if you're an athlete, people aspire to be you. And there's an amount of external pressure that society, from a civic perspective, from a cultural perspective, from an activism perspective. So, it's really important because the only time generally they see black people is when we're running, jumping, singing, or dancing.
Yeah.
It really is. It's the only time we have everybody's rapt attention.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so how do you balance the fact that you are a professional? You have commitments you have to, you're obligated to, but you still have a commitment to making things better for a community.
It's unfair, but that's life. It's unfair that responsibility falls on black players because it doesn't fall on white players.
Sure.
No one has this expectation
sure.
of white players to do the same thing. But as black players, they all know that expectation falls on them. But I think Howard Bryant wrote a great book called The Heritage about the history of activism in athletes. And it's changed the position of the players and activism has changed. And sure. I think that that's incumbent on us as spectators and people who care about it to understand that athletes aren't activists anymore as much as they are, like, flashlights.
Right.
They are not entrenched in the fight in the way that, say, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was, which is fine. So when they get an opportunity and they say, look over at Tyree Nichols, then it's our job mm-hmm. to jump in. Because we can't expect them to commit themselves to being the best in the world and then also commit themselves to be on top of the latest reading and the latest, like,
social justice. But it's really self-preservation.
Strategy.
Virtually every skill set that got you on that field will get you, will make you a hero on Sunday, will make you a target on Monday. Mm-hmm. If you're big, you fast, you strong, and you black, mm-hmm. on Sunday, that's an attribute. On the streets of this country, it is a detriment.
Yeah.
So it is self-preservation. There's only one standard I have. Do what you can to the best of your ability. Do what you can for as long as you can, for all that you can. And I think that one thing I will say about you, even before I got a chance to meet you, I love how erudite you are. I love how nuanced you are. Because most things aren't just black and white.
Yeah.
And I love how you don't just depend on your physicality. You have never just depended on that. But I hated how you played. You said, I'm a Terp. Now, nobody would ever put Maryland above Harvard on any resume.
I would.
But it ain't no new school. You've seen that there's a pretty broad continuum of experience between the way the NFL was then and it is now. Are you more hardened or more disappointed by the direction it's going?
Yeah, I think that's a tough question. I think I am...
That's why I'm here, baby. Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah, I think that it's not about the NFL, and I'm guilty of this as much as anybody else, as we think of the NFL as a single entity, which, like, yeah, it's an institution, but the NFL is made up of a bunch of different things. Mm-hmm. And the most important entity in the NFL is the players. And so that, like, gives me optimism, because I've never been more impressed, more excited, more invigorated by not only the talent, but the perspective and the engagement of these players. We talked about Patrick Mahomes right. and how he's the best quarterback in football right now and on a trajectory to be one of the best of all time. He spoke out. He was one of the first faces in that video about Colin Kaepernick. And I know that Colin Kaepernick's not back in the league, but the idea that a black quarterback who can obviously avoid this conversation if he wants to, like, that opportunity is presented to him time and time again, and he does not. And that's an example to everyone else. And players like Lamar Jackson, who are willing to be outspoken and fight for players, right? Like, all of these players in the league, and it's not just the black players, it's the white players also. Like, the league is in so much better place because of the players, and if only the players, like, fully understood it and appreciated it.
But there is a vested interest in making sure you don't realize it. Everything you have because somebody that looked like you sacrificed. That's why you have it.
You want to lead the union?
No.
You say yes.
I don't even pay my dues. What would the... You're older now. You have a family. You've been married. You've lived in various places. You've seen the world. What would the adult you tell the rookie you, the wide-eyed kid that would walk in Philly? What would you tell you?
Have as much fun as you can. Oh, no, that's a different conversation. That's an off-camera conversation. My bad.
That's for when the cameras go off.
No, I think the most important thing is to get as many different experiences as possible. And we are so focused, and we're celebrating. I did a bunch of ESPN stuff today, celebrating Tom Brady's career. And his career deserves to be celebrated.
Absolutely.
It was great.
Absolutely.
And part of the reason why it was so great was because it appeared to me that nothing else was more important than football to him. And that's fine. If you can be Tom Brady, not everybody can be Tom Brady. And I know that having all these other experiences, the tough thing about being a player in professional sports is your skills aren't applicable anywhere else.
No.
So if you don't hit that home run, and this goes back to, like, the challenge for being a player versus in the ownership class. If you are a player and you play 3 to 4 years, then the league minimum goes up and you're out of the league and your experience, I mean, sets you up to be a bouncer. Like, what?
Right.
You are in a tough situation.
Right.
So, like, one of the things that I did, and I would encourage all the players to do that, is get involved in the union as much as possible. Like, that helped open my mind to how many other opportunities there were out there in the world. Get involved in community things, obviously. And also, like, when you have time, one of the things that we negotiated was for a longer offseason.
Sure.
Use that offseason to go do something else. It'll make you a better football player. Yeah. It'll make you a better person. It'll make you a better husband and father.
I dig talking to you, but I'd say this. I want you to understand this. I truly want you to understand this. And most of the men who are on that football field go to the finest institutions of higher learning in the world. It is not their physical attributes. It is their minds. And when you understand that your mind is the most valuable piece of real estate on the face of the earth, they can't beat you. They can't. It is not your body. Your body will fail you way before your mind does. Absolutely. You know, you are here not because you may think that because you hurt yourself you're here, but your mind was ready.
Yeah.
And these maybe I'm just, you know, I got a GED, so who am I to say? But if you go to college, drop by a class every once in a while. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it ain't got to be the new school, but it can be. Dominique Foxworth.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.